Take your Bibles with us, would you, this morning? And I want us to look at one verse of Scripture to this morning. And it's one of my favorite verses of Scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want to speak to you today about the idea of gratitude. Gratitude will determine the altitude of your life. Do you know that? If you're a grateful person, you're displaying the fruit of the Spirit. You're displaying the person of the Trinity, the person of the Holy Spirit that Rhonda spoke about. The Spirit of Christ is resident within all of us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you and I are filled with the Spirit, the initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in other tongues. If you've never experienced that marvelous gift, you're a part of a Pentecostal church that believes in the baptism of the Holy Spirit as evidenced by speaking in other tongues. The initial, say initial. What does initial mean? The beginning. The first sign of a person that is filled with the Holy Spirit is they will speak in other tongues. You'll use that prayer language to be able to edify yourself, to be able to pray according to the power of the Spirit. You'll be able to pray in accordance with the Spirit of God. It gives you dynamism for witnessing for the glory of God. It's the initial physical evidence that you'll speak in other tongues that displays the power of the Holy Spirit. But can I tell you, a subsequent sign of a Spirit-filled person is what we're going to talk about today. A person that is filled with the person of God is going to be a person that is grateful. Say grateful. And this morning, I want to speak to you on the subject of only a turkey isn't grateful at Thanksgiving. Only a turkey. Don't be a turkey. So some of you are in a very good mood today because Michigan won yesterday. Hey, but can I tell you, even if you were from Ohio, you need to be grateful today. And heaven knows that we've been disappointed on this weekend for about 18 out of the last 21 years, right? But God's still worthy of being praised, amen? I want to speak to you about the idea of gratitude today. You see a picture of Rudyard Kipling. Kipling is this amazing British poet who his writings blessed many generations, including ours, obviously. What was interesting about Kipling, with many poets or writers, they're not really well known or to the utmost until after they pass away. But this was counterintuitive with Kipling. He was even famous before he was dead. He was known to make a great deal of money from his trade. On one occasion, an American journalist was visiting Great Britain, and he came up to Kipling and he said, "Mr. Kipling, I just read somewhere that somebody had calculated that the money you make from your writings amounts to over $100 a word." Kipling raised his eyebrows and said, "Really? I wasn't aware of that at all." The reporter cynically reached into his pocket and pulled out a $100 bill and gave it to Kipling and said, here's one, a $100 bill, Mr. Kipling. Now you give me one of your $100 words. Kipling looked at the $100 bill for a moment, took it, folded it up, put it into his pocket and said, "Thanks." Well, the word thanks certainly is a $100 word, but can I just say to you, I think it's about a $1 billion word. I would say that because it's one word that's seldom heard in our culture. It's too rarely spoken, and it's too often forgotten. Robert Louis Stevenson, you know him from Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, he said, "The man who has forgotten to be thankful has fallen asleep in life no less than 40 times. Say 40 times. 40 times in his writings, Paul the apostle uses the verb or the noun form of the word thanks. And in this wonderfully profound verse that we're going to look at this morning, we're going to note three truths, three principles about the attitude of gratitude that every child of God ought to apply to his or her life. I want you to stand with me for the reading. And the verse of Scripture is going to be already on the screen, and we're going to read it together at least once or twice. Can you do that with me? Let's read it out loud. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. One more time. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Lord, people didn't come to Brighton Assembly of God on this holiday weekend to honor a person other than the person of Jesus. They didn't come to hear from a man. They didn't come, Lord Jesus, to be edified from the flesh. They came to hear a word from you. And so, Lord, in these next few minutes, if you can't speak through me, speak in spite of me to these people that you and I love. I thank you for the good attendance today on this holiday weekend. But, Lord, most importantly, I'm grateful that you're in the house. Lord, I pray that you would walk these aisles by the power of the Spirit, and you would speak to people's hearts and lives, and may we leave here saying, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I pray in these next few moments that we would let the word read us. And Lord, if there's one that really doesn't live with a spirit of gratitude, Lord, would you let that infuse their lives? And those of us, Lord, that maybe need to improve on that, I pray that the word might edify us and exhort us and encourage us to be grateful in a greater dimension. And Lord, we'll thank and praise you for it all, for you alone are worthy. And we're grateful for Jesus today. And all God's people would say amen. You may be seated. In life, G.K. Chesterton said, in life, do you take things for granted or do you take them with gratitude? And from this one verse today, I want to give you three truths, three principles that you and I can live by. First off is this, right? We see in that passage, gratitude is always to be expressed. Paul simply said, give thanks. Say those two words, give thanks. Say nice and loud, give thanks. Now, that's not just excellent advice, because a grateful person, I would submit to you, is a happier person. We'll see that at the end of the message today. Not only is a grateful person happier, they're healthier. A grateful person, I submit to you, is holier in how they live. But this is more than just a good suggestion or a piece of advice. This is a command that is given to us. It's in the imperative mood, if you will. Give thanks. Gratitude's not an option. It's an obligation that you and I have as Spirit-filled believers. You're just as obligated to give thanks as you are to give your tithes as you leave today. Did you know that? For you and I not to give thanks is just as big of a sin, friends, as lying or cheating or stealing. In fact, as a matter of fact, I would say it's a greater sin in our hearts and our lives to be sinful in the realm of ingratitude. Even William Shakespeare described ingratitude as a marble-hearted fiend. He said, I hate ingratitude more than lying, vainness, babbling, drunkenness, or any taint of vice whose strong corruption inhabits our frail blood. Shakespeare added, he said, how sharper than a serpent's tooth is it to have a thankless child? I don't know of anything that stings the heart of a parent as a child that is ungrateful for what a parent has given to them. The blind poet Milton, he said, he that is ungrateful has no guilt but one. All other crimes may pass for virtues in him. Somebody said, and it was anonymous, the thief may have some streaks of honesty in him, the deadbeat spots of honor, the liar hours where he loves the truth, the libertine occasions when he has impulses to be pure. But there is nothing redemptive in the ingrate. Ingratitude, I would submit to you, right, is a mark of rank worldliness. It's a mark of an unbeliever. It's the character of an infidel to be ungrateful. Paul, in describing the lost world, look what he said in Romans 1:21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. I would submit to you, you and I are never more like lost people, like an unbeliever, than when we're ungrateful. In fact, I added it just like I did last week. Forgive me, it's not on the screen. But I want you to take your Bibles. Reach down in front of you, take that church Bible or take your personal Bible. I want you just to turn over to a passage of Scripture. Remember, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Remember, we've been in this series on last days living. This could be part 4 if I hadn't described it just as a series about gratitude or a message about gratitude. But look what Paul even says about living in the last days, what it's going to be like. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're in verse number 1. If you turn over in your church Bible to page 1854, if you're here today, turn over there and you'll see 2 Timothy 3. And when you get there, say amen. Look what it says there, right? But mark this. There will be terrible things in the last days. Wow. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient. Stop right there. Those are some pretty strong words, aren't they? They're pretty reflective of where we're at even as a culture. When you say, let's read them again. People will be lovers of themselves. Man, is that true? Say amen. People will be lovers of money. Wow. It's the economy, stupid. Man, everybody votes according to that. Lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Then look what comes next. Two right in a row. Ungrateful. Unholy. Stop right there. Look up here a second. I'll tell you, ingratitude is in some pretty raunchy company, isn't it? Did you ever think about that? I felt like the Spirit of God dropped that in my heart as I was just finishing up my studies yesterday. Man, to be ungrateful is in some pretty tough words in the passage of Scripture. And that's why gratitude is always to be expressed. We're always to be thankful. Have you ever thanked the person that led you to Jesus? Have you ever thanked the Lord for the Sunday school teachers that invested the Word of God, or the youth pastor, or the pastor that you had while you were raised? Have you ever thanked a mom or a dad for loving you and giving you a good home? Have you ever thanked your wife for a monster job outside of the house, giving a caring spirit and environment to your children and to you, men? Women, have you ever thanked your husband for doing his best to provide for the material needs? Have you ever just looked at the circumstances that you're in and people that surrounded you and just said, thank you, Lord, for their lives, and then thank them? Gratitude is always to be expressed. I put in my notes, it's better to say thank you and not mean it than mean it and not say it. I really believe that. Say expressed. Say expansive. Gratitude is always to be expansive. Give thanks in all circumstances. Paul writes, we're to give thanks in every circumstance. Those three words, in all circumstances, this is what can make that verse difficult or trying at different times. Because we're not told to thank God for most things. If it was just most things, we could all do it pretty easily. It doesn't say, thank God in the good things, or if you feel like it. It would make it a lot easier to accept that passage and obey it. But Paul says, you and I are to thank God in everything. In everything. Now, there's a caution here I want you to see, right? And you've heard Ron and I talk about this before. Nowhere in the Word of God are we commanded that we're to feel grateful. Doesn't say there. Be grateful if you feel like it. Feelings come, feelings go. They're transient, aren't they? Feelings can be affected by the weather, by the temperature, by your function of the liver, whether you got a good night's sleep last night. Thanksgiving has nothing to do with feelings. We're not commanded to feel grateful. It doesn't matter whether things are good or bad. We're to be grateful people. That's convicting to me. I don't know about you. Now, lest you're thinking, oh, well, that might be easy for Paul to say. Let me tell you, it wasn't easy for Paul to write. Paul, this letter, who's he writing to? The Thessalonican church, the Thessalonian church. He had been run out of Thessalonia at the threat of losing his life. He had been beaten. He had been whipped. He had been imprisoned. He had been shipwrecked. He had been stoned. He had been left for dead. Yet he says in all things, in all circumstances, we're to be grateful. In Acts chapter 16, there's a story there again of Paul. Then Paul and Silas were beaten with rods, whipped, scourged, and then thrown into a Philippian prison. But rather than sign, what did they begin to do? They began to sing. And I don't know what songs they were singing, but I submit to you, it was a song of thanks. Pastor Brad, come on up here. I'm putting him a little bit on the spot. He walked by me after worship service, and I said, you know what, just be ready, okay? And so whenever I say that, he's like, oh, Pastor. But I asked a song, and I want you to sing this in the middle of my message, because I think it might not have been the same words that Paul and Silas sang, but I think they sang something similar to this. Why don't you stand with me? Would you do that? If you're watching online, stand. We're just going to take a minute. And I want you just to think about how good God's been to you. You know, when I got a text on the way to service today, and I said to my kids, you can ask Rhonda, right on Grand River Avenue, got a text from Michael and Kirsty Krause. They were getting ready to watch online. I'm sure they're watching right now. She's been in ICU for 47 days. I visited with her Thanksgiving night. And they just said, Pastor, can't wait to join with you in worship. And I said to my kids, it wasn't condemning. You can ask around. I just said, you know what, Eli and Ellie, there's some people that would love to be going to church today like us. We just need to thank the Lord for the privilege to be able to worship the Lord. And you know of people that are going through dire circumstances. Mary DeLongchamp, she and her husband Mark would sit over on that north side. Mary called right after we got back from the hospital. Michelle relayed it to me. Mark went to be with the Lord Thanksgiving night. You know, no matter where we find ourselves, what I'm saying to myself as much as anybody else, got so much to be thankful for before the Lord. Amen. Would you thank him for your health? Would you thank him for your family? Would you thank him for the clothes on your back? Would you thank him for the nice home that you have to be able to go to? Most of us, you know what, we can choose to eat wherever we want after service, quite honestly. Would you thank him for his blessings upon your life? Just take a moment with me and sing this with Pastor Killian. And some of you are going through a tough place. And we just lift up the name of the Lord with you. And he looks into this place today, and he sees the battle that you're in. And yet, it's not Brad Trask. It's the Word of God. Would you still choose? Would you make the choice to rejoice? And just say, Lord, you're worthy regardless of the circumstances. Sing this with Pastor Killian. Thank you, Lord. And just declare that with me, would you, right now?
Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Oh, I just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. Yes, I just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you, Lord. Oh, say thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Thank you. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you, Lord.
Thanks, Pastor Brad. You may be seated. So what is everything? What does in all circumstances mean? Three things real quick. Means everything means the blessings of life. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and he adds no trouble to it. According to this verse, Brighton, if you're a Christian, how many of you are Christians today? Lift your hand. If you're a Christian, you've been blessed beyond measure by God, and you are rich. Somebody said a Christian is someone that doesn't have to consult their bank book to see how wealthy they really are. Do you thank God for the blessings in your life? The simple everyday blessings. I mean, for the food that we partake in. Do you thank God for the daily bread? Nobody likes dirty dishes, right? My wife and I don't like them at all. But I believe that we ought to even thank God for dirty dishes. I love the poem. Thank God for dirty dishes. They have a tale to tell. While others may go hungry, we've eaten very well. With home health and happiness, I shouldn't want to fuss. But by the stack of evidence, God's been very good to us. Do you thank God for the water that you drink? We kind of lose sight of that living around the Great Lakes. But did you know that only 3% of the water in this world is fit to drink? Over one half of the world has no access to drinking water in their home. How grateful you and I ought to be for the blessings of God. And everything means also the burdens of life. We're told to give thanks in every circumstance. We said that. Notice it's that you and I in everything, not necessarily for everything. We're not to thank the Lord for the trouble, but we're to be thankful in the midst of the trouble. In fact, I would submit to you, Brian, here's one of the signs of you being a growing believer. One of the purposes of trials and troubles and tribulations that come to us is that our life would move towards a spirit of thanksgiving. Look what Paul writes to the Corinthians, talking about trials and tribulations. He said there, all this, say all this, means everything in our life. All this is for your benefit so that the grace that is reaching you more and more, people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Everything that happens to you, right, happens for you. That's why you're always to give thanks in every situation, regardless of how bad it may seem. God wants to use in your life that circumstance to move you to a spirit of thanksgiving. You say, how do I do that, Pastor? I love the example of Matthew Henry. I've got Matthew Henry's commentaries in my Bible, and he's a phenomenal, it's all in one volume, but Matthew Henry, known from a generation prior, known as a famous Bible scholar. And he wrote about one day in his diary about how he was robbed of all of his money. On that day in his diary, he wrote these words. I'm so very thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took everything I had, it wasn't very much. And fourth, it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. Do you thank him even in the bad times, even in the difficult times, as well as the good? Do you thank him in the midst of trouble, or do you just thank him in the midst of triumph? We thank him for the sun. Do we thank him for the rain? We thank him for joy. Do we thank him for pain? We thank him for gains. Do we thank him for losses? We thank him for blessings. Do we thank him for crosses? Everything means the benefits of life as well. Do you thank God just for being one of his children and one of his creatures? Just for the benefits of living on God's green earth? Aren't you glad, Bright? You and I don't have to pay taxes on sunlight and the air that we breathe. You ever study that in the topography and in the geography and the history of England? If you go back and you go to the nation of England, in Great Britain, in the United Kingdom, I just did a wedding this past week of a young lady that her whole family came for her ceremony on this past Tuesday out in the cold in Kensington Park, of all places. Man, that was a ceremony I was trying to get through very quickly, I got to tell you. But if you study the history in England, the homes in the 18th century that were built are very small and have small windows in the house. And the reason for that, do you know why it is? There was a window tax. It was one of the most senseless taxes ever levied by a ruling power. The government was charging houses for the amount and the use of sun that they had. If they had more than six windows in the house, they got a higher tax, went to a higher tax level. True story. When I think about the cost of electricity, am I ever grateful they're not taxing me for the sun? You know what? Aren't you grateful that the air you breathe, take a breath. Aren't you glad you don't have to pay admission to see the sun set? Or to hear a bird sing or smell a rose? What would it be like if God went on strike? Have you ever thanked God for the benefits that you and I have for living in America? You know, so often we gripe about, you know, I got to go to work, or fighting the traffic, or having to put up with a nasty boss, or paying taxes. Consider this. Look at this on the screen. For the first time in 20 years, the percentage of the world's population living in extreme poverty has increased. Between 865 to 900 million people, almost a billion people, suffer in poverty right now. 1 billion people are now food insecure. That means they wonder where the meals are going to come from. Every day, these are right from Convoy of Hope this past week. Every day, 16,000 children die from food or water-related causes. In the U.S., one out of four households are food insecure. Don't forget the benefits of God. We ought to give thanks in all things, and we ought to give thanks always. Paul said it, almost an identical verse, Ephesians 5:20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Gratitude is to be expansive. It's to be given, expressed, but it's also to be expected. Thirdly, true or false? The only way to please God is to be obedient to his will. True. Look what it says there. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. To do what? To give thanks. I don't know what God's will is regarding other details about your life, where you're to work, where you're to live, who you're to marry, what you're to study, but I can say universally across the sanctuary, everybody listening online that may hear this week or in generations to come, can I say, each and every one of us, it's expected that you and I are to be people of gratitude and thanks unto the Lord. I don't know what burdens, what trouble we might be in, but can I say that there ought to be a spirit of gratitude boiling up and over out of your heart and your life, because this is what gratitude means in your personal life. It means that it's a sign of a growing Christian. We said that. It's the sign of somebody that's developing and maturation in their faith. You see, gratitude is a real test of character. Let me ask you a question. Jeff and Carrie had a new grandson given to them. Wesley, their oldest boy, had a little baby. He and Nicole this past week. Emmett Matthew, I like that name. And how many of you are parents here today? Lift your hand. Okay, let me ask, how many of you are grandparents here today? Let me ask a third question. How many of you have ever been a child? 100% of the hand. Now let me ask you, parents, grandparents, or children, do you as a child, or any of you when you were children, the first words that were ever spoken by you, have you ever heard of somebody saying thank you? No. Gratitude is not something that naturally comes in your life. It's something you got to learn. I try and teach that to Eli and Ellie, Ron and I. Hey, what do you say? What should you say? What is the proper expression? Thank you. And if you have a baby, Jeff and Carrie's son and daughter-in-law, they take little Emmett Matthew, and they walk with him if he's struggling like Eli was with colic. Rhonda would hold Eli for 6-7 hours at a time. If they take that little baby, or when we had Eli when he was struggling with colic, and you set them down after they've been held for 6 hours, are they ever going to say, look up and say, most grateful for that? No, not a chance, are they? They're going to start screaming bloody murder again. Pick me up, pick me up. You almost have to force a child to say thanks. I love the story of a grandmother gave her little grandson a piece of cake. The little boy said, thank you, Grandma. She said, I love to hear little boys say thank you. He said, well, if you'll put some ice cream on that cake, I'll say it again. We expect that out of children, is what I'm saying. But if we continue to be ungrateful, it's like we're spiritual babies. If you have a spirit of gratitude in your heart today, you know what? It's a sign of spiritual maturation. You may have the body of a giant, the mind of Shakespeare, but the fact is, if you aren't a grateful person, you've got the spirit and the soul of a pygmy if you're not grateful. It's a sign of a growing Christian. It's a sign of a giving Christian. If for no other reason, a Christian ought to give to the things of God, their praise, their time, their treasure, their talent, because we understand it's the Lord that's given all these things to us to start with. Are you with me? Say amen. I believe the height of ingratitude is we say, you know what? We're not going to give, Lord. We're going to hold it back. The Word says, James 1:17, everything I've got, everything that you have, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. If you're a grateful Christian, you've got to be a giving Christian. Thanksgiving, to be truly thankful, is to first to give thanks and then to give. It's Thanksgiving. I put down in my notes, you can give and not be thankful, but you can't be thankful and not give. And I truly believe that. When you're giving your time, your treasure, your talent, you're not only acknowledging everything that you have has been given by the Lord, but it's also expressing gratitude to Him. The fact is that you and I are growing Christians, we're giving Christians, and thirdly, as the worship team comes back, I would submit to you, we're glowing Christians. We're displaying the love and the person of the Lord. The Word says, the psalmist declares it, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Read that with me out loud, would you? Right? It is good to give thanks to the Lord. One more time. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. An attitude of gratitude, right, will transform your life. It'll shield you from cynicism. It'll keep you from criticism. It'll protect you from pessimism in your life. People that are thankful are fun to be around. Have you ever seen those people that are waiting? They've probably been tipped off by Publishers Clearing House, I suppose. Are you going to be there? But the Publishers Clearing House comes up with the cameras, and they knock at the door early in the morning to give them the announcement, hey, you've just won the Publishers Clearing House prize. $7,000 a week for the rest of your life or whatever it might be. Do you ever see any of those people look at the lights and say, you know what, could you turn those down and get off my porch? Do you ever see somebody say, you know what, hey, how long is this going to take because I'm watching The Wonderful World of Disney and I got to get back to that? Or do they respond, well, get off of my porch and have a great day, bub? No, they're jumping up and down. They're excited about getting this money. Friend, I want you to know, I believe this as sure as I'm speaking to you. Do you know how much more thankful we ought to be for how God has given to us the unsearchable riches in Christ Jesus? It's worth more than a $1 million prize. For all eternity, we're going to be in His presence. We should be grateful people. We have riches beyond our wildest imaginations. So when we are viewed by others in the church and outside the church, do they see the joy of the Lord about our faces? Or my dad used to say, or do you look like a bloated toad in a hailstorm? The worship in biblical terms, in biblical times, was punctuated with shouts of amen. That meant so be it. Or hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. If you know the Lord as your Savior, commit to being a person who lives life with a spirit of gratitude. In 2001, Stephen Post was a medical professor of bioethics, created this research group called the Institute for Research on Unlimited Love. And it was dedicated to testing and measuring the effects of love, gratitude, and other positive emotions in our human life. Dr. Post's research discovered that spending, listen, Bright, 15 minutes a day focused on things you're grateful for can have the following effects on your physical health. Listen to these. It increases your body's natural antibodies. It expands mental capacity and reduces vulnerability to depression. It creates a physiological state of resonance, improving your blood pressure and heart rate. That's gratitude for you. And you know what? The world's just catching up with what the Word of God has already declared in our lives. Not only does it lift up the recipient, but can I tell you? It gives life to others around you when you're expressing joy and gratitude. That's why we're told time after time after time, 40 times by Paul, to give thanks. Our Creator knows a grateful heart puts us in right alignment with Him and with one another. Stand with me, would you, Bright, as we close? Look at Colossians 3:15 says, and always be thankful. Read those four words with me again. And always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. There's the second time. And whatever you do or say, it is a representative of the Lord Jesus giving thanks through Him to God the Father. I want to encourage you, Brighton. I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody today. Hear me. But I want you to put the test of Dr. Post to the test of your life by obeying Paul's admonition. Every day that you would look and you would take time to just find reasons to be thankful. And I would submit to you as a believer, that's your responsibility. But I want to just speak this lastly. If you haven't committed your life to Jesus Christ, the best way that you can express gratitude to God is for giving thanks for sending His Son to die and rise again and ascend to the Father so that you might be saved. To give thanks to Him by saying, Lord, come into my heart and my life. Look what the Word says. Psalm 116, 12 and 13. what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? Then the psalmist answers his own question. Look what he says. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Can I just say this to people watching online and anybody here that hasn't surrendered their life to Jesus? If you give your life to Jesus Christ, I promise you, you'll be eternally grateful that you did. Would you bow your heads with me today before we sing a closing song? Lord, I just pray in these next few minutes that people watching online, maybe they just stumbled across this message today in this service. If they've never surrendered their life to you, Lord, I just ask, would you tug at their heart to just go to that part of our website, brightonag.org/next, and just follow in the path of salvation that will lead them in. And if they've never surrendered to you, Lord, may they just be thankful for all that you've done for their hearts and their lives.